If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Time to check in with digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg, navigating social media right now with all the news about Israel coming at us nonstop can really be challenging, and Scott has some tips for us this morning. I know you have experience with this, Scott. I'm glad you're talking about this today. What are some things we should be thinking about right now?
Morning, Bob. Yeah, so the first thing that pops up after a major news event is always an influx of misinformation and disinformation. So whether it's a story about COVID or the horrors of what happened in Israel, what happens on social media next is often much more intricate than it may seem. You've got genuine confusion where people share and make falsehoods more widespread, and then you have others doing it purposely to misrepresent one side or the other.
Hmm. All right, let's use the Israel example. You're saying there's a combination of people sharing things they don't realize are false, along with people knowingly pushing out things that they know are false, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. You've got, you know, genuine footage out there from Israel and Gaza living next to things completely unrelated to what happened because people don't know any better. You know, there's stuff out there that's being put there as clickbait with the intent to deceive.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy to get fooled, too. And now, you know, throw in artificial intelligence, and it's really a headache. And all this means that someone trying to share actual news events is certainly faced with a lot of obstacles right now.
Many, many obstacles. I mean, I've seen examples of people out there using 10-year-old footage thinking that it actually depicts current events. I've seen people actually sharing video game content, something from a video game that looks so real that people are confident that it's actually a real event. Hmm. And for every person that's confused by what they see, there's someone who put it there with the sole purpose to confuse that person.
Yeah, and I don't know why people do that, but they do. And we've talked about this many times before. This is classic misinformation and disinformation, isn't it?
That is, we have, and it is close in name with such an important distinction. Misinformation is false or inaccurate information. It's when you get the facts wrong. Disinformation is false information which is deliberately intended to mislead. So putting out videos from old stories to trick people into believing it just happened. Doctoring documents. It's nothing new, but it's in times like these where you realize just how widespread it is. And I don't believe that I'm exaggerating when I say misinformation and disinformation tore our society apart during COVID. I mean, we haven't recovered from that, and we probably won't.
I agree. So what do we do?
First, I think we need to decide what our place is on social media. Are we going to try to sift through the misinformation and disinformation to help others and further the conversation? Or are we going to try to sift through the misinformation and disinformation to at least educate ourselves? Or are we going to take a different road altogether and stay off of social media, like a social media detox?
You know what? I'm thinking also about how much more important it is now to really be good about investigating the sources that you check on your phone. I mean, that's critical, isn't it?
It's absolutely critical. But if you think about the problem overall with social media, not just now, people scan, they don't read, they don't want to do that research. You and I have talked in the past so many times about taking 15 seconds to Google something to see if it's real. You know, going outside of this Israel example for a second, there was a total eclipse, that annular eclipse the other day, mm-hmm. and it was really visible in South America. People were passing photos off from 2019 because they thought it was now and didn't know any better. Mm. I mean, it's a minor thing compared to what we're talking about, but it grows exponentially.
Continuing with digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. And Scott, let's talk a little bit about something we've mentioned before. You've talked about having a social media detox, and there's probably never a bad time for one of these days on social media, is there?
Yeah, yeah. And Bob, I've come full circle on social media breaks. I think we run the risk of interfering with our mental health when we don't think these things through. And the sheer volume of content right now related just to Israel is enough to do that. Think about what happens when so much of that disinformation designed to confuse and mislead, and then what happens when we inadvertently share that content. We may have good intentions only to find out that we're contributing to the problem. And you said in the beginning of the conversation, this is why navigating social media is so challenging in times like these.
What other tips do you have to help us through this? Anything that reaches beyond the realm of misinformation and disinformation?
I actually do. This is really for anyone, but it really applies more to business owners. A lot of social media users and social media teams like to program their content into social media calendars. This way, there's always content going out automatically. But when major world events are happening, it's a really good idea not to have things programmed in the calendar, just to make sure you don't end up posting something at the worst possible time. When you think about it, it can be anything from an outdated post that has changed because of events around us, to not wanting to post during times of world tragedy when we really shouldn't. And it doesn't mean that you can't set up content ahead of time, but you always have to be ready to pivot when major news breaks and be ready to pause that automation. And I would say, as a business owner, this is something you always want to be mindful of.
You know, at least for the most part, old media, legacy media, whatever you want to call it, TV, radio, print, there are filters, yeah. There are editors before something is published or broadcast. On social media, it's just the Wild West, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting. It's the Wild West because, of course, you know, you have people that do it by themselves. Of course, you have social media managers and directors who try to watch out for that stuff. But you also have these automated tools and these bots. That's something, if you ever listen to Elon Musk, he talks about how X is infiltrated with bots, these robots that basically post things on people's behalf. So the misinformation and disinformation that's out there, sure, people are sitting there and typing it in and putting it up, but there are also automated systems doing this at a speed that we cannot keep up with. So, yeah, filters are a good thing, and sometimes you miss those things.
Yeah. All right. Genius Bar question for you. We've been talking about this here for the past week. Is your phone spying on you? We've all had that experience where it seems like you're just thinking about a new pair of shoes, and then on your feed you get all these ads for shoe stores. What's the story on that?
The thing that's crazy, Bob, is it sounds so plausible. The shoe example is so perfect, but it's not that cut and dry. Your phone is listening to you. If you have given your phone access to Hey Google or Siri or something with voice automation, then your phone listens for those commands. But what should be clear is it's an old tale that your phone is actually truly listening and recording you and knowing that you're talking about shoes. The reason why the shoe ads more than likely pop up, that's not the only time you've mentioned shoes. You've done something online. You've bookmarked a website. You've had a cookie register that it remembers you. Any of those things can make it seem like it's being listened to. And normally when you're talking about it, you're excited about it. So if you're talking about a vacation and you start researching a vacation, the research is what's getting you, not the voice. And it's really, really crazy, but that's the truth. It's not actually truly listening, but it is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, all right, if you say so. Scott Kleinberg. Thank you, Scott. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, Bob. Take care.
You too.